You know, as I was preparing this message and I was, you know, thinking about Independence Day. And, you know, it's interesting as a pastor, you know, doing, creating messages and writing messages and stuff, you get a part of the job is to sit and just reflect. You know, yeah, there's writing involved, but it's different because it's not like writing a school paper or something, or writing a, you know, a research paper or whatever it is, writing an email. A lot of it is you start writing and you start putting things together and then you sit and reflect. And then you go back and you erase it and you add other things. And it's just kind of this, you know, you're working with God, but then you're also using your own creativity. And it's this joint adventure. And as I was thinking about Independence Day, and I really didn't plan this, but Joshua, in the story of Joshua, really got me thinking about the original founders, you know, and lately with different things I'm hearing on like through social media or talk shows or different things that I listen to. You know, I've been hearing a lot about like George Washington and some of the founding fathers. And it just so happens that today we're going to talk about Joshua and this legacy of boldness and courage. And as I was preparing this message, I just kept thinking about those men. You know, a lot of them were just farmers, you know, a lot of them were, you know, if you look at the Declaration of Independence, those signatures, you know, they were just a small group of people in the colonies, and they're regular folks like a lot of us, you know, they weren't, you know, super wealthy. Some were, you know, some had money, some didn't, you know, there was a definitely an eclectic group. But it just got me thinking about the courage and the boldness to say, you know what, we're going to stand up to the King of England. We're, you know, England at the time was pretty much the most powerful empire in the late 1700s. They were conquering all over the world. They had the biggest and best navy in the world at the time. And yet this small band of folks, you know, had courage. And I just kept thinking about this as I was preparing this message. So I hope that, you know, as we go through this message, we talk about Joshua, I hope that you reflect on that group and the courage that it took. They were godly men that just was like, you know what, we want freedom. And just, they could have cowered down. They said, oh, you know what, we might, you know, die, or we might lose our farms, which a lot of them did. You know, they could come up with all these reasons, but they didn't. They knew that this was what God had in store for them. And now we have this 250, 249 years later, we have this amazing country. And I know that on TV and the media, they've really distorted, they really criticize America a lot. But when you really think about it, their bold move has inspired other countries. The United Kingdom or England would not have freedom. They could still have a monarchy if it wasn't for us. Other countries that are now, you know, constitutional republics, Canada wouldn't have been free if it wasn't for us. You know, Spain conquered Mexico. They wouldn't have had that freedom that they have today if it wasn't for that first. We were one of the first countries, if not the first country, to really go down that road. You know, even Greece, which had a republic, they were one of the first ones to really have a republic. Even they went back and forth, and they didn't have that solid history until the United States said, you know what, this is the direction we're going to go. And we broke away from all of that monarchy. And it's amazing. So as we look at Joshua and his legacy, I hope and I want to put that. Are you raising your hand? There's no raising your hand in sermons. This isn't school, Laurel. Yes.
That was the huge change, was that our rights are not given to us by any leader. They are given to us by God.
Absolutely. And a little side note, and I wish that I hope that caught it on the mic, but A little side note, I know we hear a lot about democracy and that we're democracy and democracy this, democracy that. We're not. We're a constitutional republic. Democracy is majority rules. We are not a majority rules country. We're a constitutional republic, and it goes down to the people. That's my little sermonette within the sermon, okay? So, but Joshua, as we think about this and the legacy of boldness and courage, I started this message off with this because I want you to, as we celebrate Independence Day, as we think about Independence Day, I want to encourage you to think back on the founding fathers and the courage that they had. And even today, we have people that are around in not only in our government, but private citizens that have this courage and this boldness to defend this country. And as we celebrate Independence Day, I hope that this reminds you of it. But in our series, we did go through, so far we've gone through four other leaders, and we looked at Abraham's faith, we looked at Esther's courage, we looked at David's heart, and last week we talked about Deborah's wisdom. And each leader's legacy points to God's power and faithfulness. It wasn't about their skills and how great they were as a speaker or how wise they were individually. They all of them pointed to God in their success. It was all about how they were faithful to God. And that's what made him successful. Joshua's unique position, it's continuing that. He also has this faithfulness to God. But it's interesting because there is, he's in a very unique position. He followed Moses. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But in connection to Independence Day, and how do we kind of connect these two, Joshua, and let's talk a little bit about Independence Day. Joshua's leadership was at a pivotal moment. He was at Israel's threshold, and our nation's leaders, our founding fathers, had that same thing. They were being taxed a lot. All these different things were going on. There was a lot of control, a lot of power from England, and they were at also a pivotal moment. And we can even take it a step further, even till today. Our nation's leaders now, is at pivotal moments. Independence Day's, a celebration, it reminds us that leaders who step forward in these pivotal moments, who really made an impact in our country. They faced uncertainty, the overwhelming odds. They faced a lot of pushback. A lot of people going, no, 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 can't do that, can't do this, don't do that. I think about in our country today and in our current president, President Trump, and all the stuff that he's gone through over the past 4 years blows my mind. And I'm old enough to have been around for a few presidents now. And I just think back, and when I first started paying attention to politics, I think about our leaders was really Reagan era. And that's when I started learning about it, and I started thinking about it, paying attention. No president's ever gone through this turmoil that he's gone through. Facing those overwhelming odds, but yet moving forward with conviction. Joshua modeled that boldness and that godly leadership. In Joshua 1:9, it says, "Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous." That's kind of our theme for Joshua throughout this message. So definitely, it's a great life verse when you're feeling weak or you're feeling small, you're feeling, inadequate, whatever it may be. He reminds all of us, haven't I told you to be strong and courageous? It's not your power, it's my power that's there. And this was a divine imperative. It wasn't just a mere suggestion or encouragement. It wasn't God going, hey, come on, be bold, be courageous, be strong. It wasn't like a little cheerleader. No, it was a divine imperative that God said, remember, haven't I told you? Haven't I commanded you? This is an order from God. This is that, think of it in military terms. God is commanding him, be strong and courageous. And that defined Joshua's leadership. So what challenges feel too big for you? So this is the question that I want you hopefully to have an answer for at the end of the message. No, I'm not going to ask you the answer, but you know, this is something I want you to reflect on through this message. What challenges do you face that just seem too big? Where do you need boldness? Where do you need to be strong and courageous? See, bold leadership depends on trust in God's presence and promises. Let's take a look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. We'll read through this, and then we'll take a look at it a little closer. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, who had served Moses. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you," let me make this a little bigger for myself. "Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land that I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west of the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you, just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you." Doesn't that sound familiar in the New Testament?
Yeah.
Imagine that. "Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to your to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction of my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn away from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." See, God speaks to Joshua after Moses' death. He goes to him and he commands him to cross the Jordan River. The promise of the territory, the promise of victory, and the promise of God's glory and God's presence. He commanded commanded to be strong. If you look through those verses a little closer, and if you have your Bibles open, you might want to circle the three. But he commands it three times: be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. It says it right here. He says it. One more back here. Verse 7: above all, be strong and courageous. And verse 6: be strong and courageous. He instructs him regarding the law. He says, "This book of instructions, read it day and night, memorize it. Just read the Word of God." And that puts a lot of emphasis on the Word of God, doesn't it? Even back then, when this was Moses' writings, right? So there wasn't like the Bible we have today, where we have the 66 books and all this stuff, and we have all this information. Back then, it was very little, very small. They say it was the Pentateuch, the first five books. That was it. And so to put an emphasis on this shows the importance of reading Scripture even from the beginning with Joshua. And then he talks about the promise of prosperity and success. And the final command was with reassurance of God's presence. So a little bit of historical background here. 40 years in the wilderness, wandering around. It was a result of disobedience and a lack of faith. And an entire generation died, including Moses, before they would go into this promised land. And Moses only permitted to see but not enter the promised land. And then Moses' assistant was Joshua for decades, following Moses around. He witnessed God's miracles, and he experienced the leadership challenges that Moses faced. He was there witnessing all this. He was being mentored by Moses the whole time. And he was one of the 12 spies that went into the land. And he gave this report with Caleb, and he demonstrated faith while others spread around fear. He was the one that stood up and said, and had faith. We can take him. We got it with God on our side. Now he has this new task. Now he's got, you know, his mentor for years has passed away. Now he's kind of on his own. God comes to him and reminds them what? Be courageous. Read the word of God, but be courageous. I'm got your back. I'm with you. And now he's leading approximately 2 million people into this promised land to conquer. And now keep in mind, he was a skilled tactician. He was a skilled military guy. He knew a lot of this stuff, right? But yet, there's still, he's this young man who's in this huge leadership position. And he's being called to go into this hostile land and conquer it. And then distribute it amongst the 12 tribes of Israel, turning divine promise into physical possession. So what is it when we look at Joshua and we think about him, there, you know, we think about in his position, I'm thinking about the founding fathers too. The parallel there. You know, they're coming together and now they feel that God's calling them to do this, to go down this road and create this document and to break away from England and all this stuff. And I don't know all of what's going in their head, but I know that they're godly men who came together and I'm sure they were afraid. You know, I'm sure they had some fears and some uncertainties, but they're courageous and bold. And now they're going to, I mean, and think about this. They're going to lead the 13 colonies to break away England. And there's this risk of war. And they, and taking this step of courage. And yet the England could just dominate them because there's this powerful empire. But they took that step forward. And now we are sitting in this church without hiding in a cave. We have the freedom to worship, the freedom to, how many Bibles do we, can we go? I know that brick and mortar Christian bookstores aren't as common today, but I remember when I was first saved, I would go into the Christian bookstore and there was like four or five shelves, bookcases full of different Bibles. And you can get it this color, that color, red, you know, red, black, gray, green, pink, flowers, no flowers, you know, manly stuff, you know, just all this stuff. But you go overseas and that's not the case. We're in this amazing country because of the faith and boldness and courage of those founding fathers. Just like the nation of Israel is in, and the 12 tribes prospered because of the courage of Joshua. See, God calls us to be courageous. Joshua's defining moment is this, Moses is dead. He's commissioned to lead them into the promised land, and he's weighing out this responsibility. He wants to succeed as a great leader. He's guiding difficult people because if you remember right, Moses had some challenges with his people. They were not the easiest bunch. Not like y'all who are just like really easygoing. He had challenging ones. And he's entering not only that, that they would gripe all the time and always complain, but he's going into hostile territory. Can you imagine leading an army into hostile territory with a bunch of whiners? It's hot. Do we have to battle today? It would be difficult. But then there's this call, this God's call to be strong and courageous, emphasizing courage is supernatural. It's not natural. See, fear is a natural response. Do you know this? Do you know that inside of our brains we have this little thing, and that's where we get our fight, flight, fear, or fawn response? And it's this little thing where if Dan comes up to me a little bit aggressive, I know Dan, I'm going to like, calm down, dude. Now, if Jenny does the same thing, I'm going to cower down and fawn. But, you know, we have these natural responses. Love you, sweetheart. But we have these natural born things. And when people experience trauma, it actually distorts that a little bit. And that's why they get nervous and fearful about things that seem abnormal. They come into church and they're scared to death. Why? Because it messes with this. I call it lizard brain. It's like our natural responses. And so when we have trauma in our lives, it gets messed up. So it's a natural part of our biology to have fear. There's nothing wrong with it. If I'm afraid, that's normal. So that tells me, with that information, it tells me that that courage is not natural. It's something we have to actually try to do. And it also tells me in Scripture with Joshua that it's supernatural. So for me to have courage in something that completely doesn't make sense, I should be afraid of. I should be completely scared to death to go into a country or to break away from England like the founding fathers and have courage in those situations when fear is a natural response. That tells us that that's supernatural. That's God being there. When you go, there's no way, this makes no sense. I'm scared. I'm nervous. In verse 6, it tells us to be strong because it will lead us to an inheritance. Verse 7, it says, be strong in obeying God's law. In verse 9, direct command with divine authority. Be strong. It's based on God's presence, not our ability. See, it's easy if I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of preaching, so it's easy for me to come up here. 10 years ago, different story, right? But currently, I'm not afraid, so it's very easy. But now, if I'm going to go in front of like a whole Billy Graham style, 50,000 people, yeah, I'm probably going to be nervous and scared. Would you want to sing in front of 50,000 people? Would that make you nervous? Yeah. Yeah, your ear's good, right? This is chill. Yeah, this is easy. 50,000 people? 100,000 people, but with God's supernatural gift of saying, be courageous, be strong. It reminds me of Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's where we get our strength from. There's been many times I've been afraid, many times. Not the normal stuff. Like, I really hated bees for a long time. I grew up catching bees, no problem. Then I got, it just kind of like a switch got flipped at about 30 years old. I just, all of a sudden, I just got frozen. And it, to the point where a bee or a wasp would go into the house and Jenny would have to, don't judge me, Jenny would have to get it for me. I feel the judging eyes. I don't even have my glasses on and I can still see it, okay? Jenny would have to catch it. But now, not so much. I hear that. Now, not so much. I have the courage to go do it. I still don't care for them, but I want to get my boots out and smash them. But I have the courage to deal with it now. But that's not because of me, because my natural instinct is to not be around them. See, boldness comes from the assurance of God's presence amidst the fear. Joshua's source of direction is not about his military strategy. It's not about his skills and his, like coming up here in preaching. I'm not afraid of getting up here in front of you and talking and speaking. And I've preached in front of a few hundred people and it doesn't bother me. And it's not about my ability. When I was afraid of preaching, it was God that was there through those moments. Because I would go before preaching, I was scared to death to the point where I was having anxiety attacks and panic attacks and nausea and all this stuff. But I was determined to rely on God, and I would pray right before. As a matter of fact, Dan and I and Jerry, we pray a lot before service because we want to rely on God through our service. And that's an example of, despite any kind of nervousness or fear or uncomfortableness, we need to focus on God to go through it. It's about that intimacy with God. It's about that relationship with God. And Joshua had that. He had that relationship with God. He knew God. He was mentored by Moses, and he saw God's miracles. And he had this great relationship with the Lord, and to the point where the Lord singled him out and said, I want you to lead them. I want you to go into this land, this promised land. And he tells them to keep the law, the book of the law on his lips. Stay focused on my word. Stay focused on me. Meditate on it day and night. And leadership is guided through the word of God. So as we lead people, and like I said a few weeks ago, you are all leaders, every single one of you. If you are influencing other people, you are leading them either a good direction or a bad direction. It's up to you which direction you're leading. See, we all have influence into each other's lives, so it's a matter of how you're leading them. So we're all leading them. So if that's the case, we got some responsibility here as to how we're leading other people. And we need to be guided by God's word, not on our own human wisdom. This connection to God's truth as a source of strength and success, not just for me to feel strength, but also the wisdom that comes through the word of God and through focusing on him, then we will gain that wisdom to share that with others. There's a few theological truths in this that I want to share with you. The first one, that God's presence is foundational for courage. There's a connection between courage and faith. Faith is taking that step out, even though you're afraid, even though you don't know the end result. How many times do we like to plan things out? We have to have structure. We feel comfortable with structure. Why do we like that? It's because it makes us feel safe. We have a plan in place. And the worry and the uncertainty is no longer there because I have a plan. I'm going to go this direction. But faith is saying, okay, God's calling me this direction. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I know that's where he wants me to go. That's where faith steps in, and it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to step out and go, okay, all I know is God is calling me into this promised land and to battle these people, and I'm going to take over this land, and because God said his promise and he's calling me there, and I just got to go. I'm scared to death. I have no idea how it's going to happen, but that's what I got to do. And that's where faith comes in. It's not about all these fine details. It's not about step by step. Now, I'm not saying that we don't make some plans and go, okay, well, let's get some teams together and go in that direction. There's some wisdom in all of that. But it's going forward regardless. Take a look at Matthew 28. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Not a little bit. Not like, hey, let's get you saved and then you can do whatever you want. No, teach discipleship. This is where evangelism and discipleship is taught by Jesus himself. Go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I'm always with you. I'm with you always to the end of the age. This takes courage to do that. It takes a lot of courage to share the gospel. It takes a lot of courage to disciple somebody. Because you have to be bold enough to say things that they don't want to hear. To challenge their understanding of things. When they say, hey, I'm saved, but I can go sin whatever I want because I'm forgiven. Yeah, that's something we need to challenge, but it takes courage to do that. It takes a lot of courage to call somebody out on something. I don't know about you, but I love peace. I like my happy little bubble. I like my happy place. But it takes courage to step out of that peaceful environment and say, hey, what you're doing is not healthy if you're a believer. It takes a lot of guts. But he tells us to not only go make this, go and make disciples, the evangelism part of it, But teaching them to observe everything is the key there in this verse. It's the second part of the verse. Teaching them to observe. What is that? Obedience to the word of God. That takes courage. And that's why I think Jesus says, remember, you're going to have challenges and you're going to have people that are going to fight back over this and argue from this. But you know what? Don't worry. I am going to be with you always. It wasn't like, you know, oh, everything, go teach, make disciples and baptize them and teach them and everything's going to be easy and smooth. No, he knows that it's going to be challenging. He knows that when you lead others to Christ and lead others to observe his word of his word, it's going to be challenging. We're going to need courage. We're going to need that faithfulness, and we're going to need to rely on him. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm in a discussion with somebody and they throw in some questions or some challenges and I'm not armed, really, and I'm just like, interesting point, let me get back to you because I don't know how to respond. If you leave it up to me. But when we're focusing on God and we are sharing and talking with somebody and you're like, okay, God, in your head, you're like, okay, God, give me some direction here because I don't know what to do. I want to share, give me the words, help me. Just those simple calling out to God, he has given us moments where we are able to just hit hard in with a particular point that just almost like you remember a verse that you didn't remember for years. It takes courage to do that. Next one is God's word guides godly leadership. Joshua instructed to meditate on his word, meditate on it day and night. It's not guided by opinion or preference or wants or not wants. It's guided by divine instruction. So as we go into the word of God, we have to have a very objective view, meaning we're going to look at the word of God and go, okay, what does it say? There's two Greek words when it comes to biblical interpretation. It's eisegesis or exegesis, okay? Exegesis means you're looking at the word of God in context and saying, what does it say? What does it mean? I'm not putting in anything into my own. I'm not reading into it and going, I think this feels great. I like this verse, and I'm going to completely interpret it my own way. No, exegesis means what is the writer saying? What is the writer meaning? What is the contextual history in that? That's what that means, okay? Now, but then there's many people that do what they call eisegesis, and eisegesis is the opposite of that. That's a very subjective view. I read a verse, let's use Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, I can do all things. I can go weightlift 1,000 pounds. I can just do whatever. You know, I have God telling me, all right, he's got my back and I can do anything. But that's not necessarily what that means. What that means, when we look at it in the correct context, what that verse actually means is that when God calls you to something, he's going to give you the strength to do it. That doesn't mean that I could go around doing whatever I want and just expect God to be at my beck and call. No, it's the opposite. It's whatever God is calling you to do, he's going to make way and give you the strength, just like he did with Joshua. Joshua was called to this big event, and he can do all things through Christ who gives him strength through those processes. Now, if he went wayward and started conquering lands that weren't on the agenda, then God is not going to give him that authority, that power, or that strength. That's what we need to do. We need to understand that Joshua is to meditate on his word, and it's not about our opinions or our wants or desires. It's about what the word of God says and taking it more literal, more contextual. And he's guided by that divine instruction. Look at Psalm 119. It says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Now, I know we have some high-tech lights these days where go like really, really far, but the light, think about an old lantern, doesn't go very far, does it? If I was to walk out at midnight on somebody's ranch with just a little old candle lantern, how far do you think I'd be able to see? Probably about a few feet, maybe. Maybe, I don't know. Rocky, you've probably done that. Just kidding. How far? Maybe. Okay, let's just even give it a dark night, no moon, 10 feet. But what does that tell us? Think about the analogy in there. If the word is a light at my feet and the lamp or the light on my path, right? And I'm holding this. I can only go so far without needing more light. So think about this a little deeper. This is my light. So I'm only able to go about 10 feet before I need this again. It's lighting every step. So if we're not opening this word up, then we're just wandering around in the dark. Yeah, we might be saved, but we're just wandering around. This is what guides us. God promises to fuel perseverance. He reminds Joshua of the promises he made to Moses. And there was a continuation of that covenant. That covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and is continuing on. And he's continuing to say, look, you're on solid ground. I got this. You're just another person taking the next steps on this journey of the covenant, fulfilling that. And that perseverance that comes from that. And then God often calls us when circumstances seem impossible. Conquering Canaan humanly impossible. There's no way they were going to... I mean, remember back when the spies went out there? Most of the spies were like, heck no, we're out of here. Can't do it. But Joshua's like, well, yeah, we could take him with God. There were fortified cities, numerous inhabitants. There was a lot of people here. The Israelites lacked that military ability, the training. But God specializes in the impossible. And it goes back to Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm able to do things through God. And that's what we need to rely on in our day-to-day life, is to rely on God, because he's the one that's paving that path. So let's take a look at, as we summarize this up a little bit, as we start towards a close, look at faith in action. When you really think about Joshua and this whole thing and the demonstration, I mean, the walls of Jericho, completely absurd. March around the city once daily for 6 days. I really feel that God's calling us to help this church grow. Let's get together every day and march around the church. I mean, it seems like if I said that to you, you'd be like, what the heck is he talking about? It is absurd. That's so strange. Seven times on the seventh day, blow trumpets and shout. That's not a very good military strategy. I was in the Navy. You're Marines. We got, I think, some Army guys here, some Air Force guys. I don't know. If I'm in a Navy ship and we're going to circle around somewhere for a few times and honk the horn. But Joshua didn't hesitate. He was obedient. He's like, all right. They're probably going to laugh at us, God, but we'll go for it. We trust you. And it's and thinking about it, Hebrews 11:30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell. That is obedience. It doesn't have to make sense to us. And to be honest, when moving up to Midville didn't make a lot of sense. I had a good job down there, and I had a nice big house in Caldwell. I mean, it was a rental, but it was like very spacious. It was a nice little house. We were in town, got everything we need. But something called me to look around for a pastorate to just help. All I wanted to do was help y'all. That's all I did. You roped me in. I was just planning on just going, hey, I'll preach for you until you find a pastor. That was my goal. That was my goal. Keep in mind, my goal. And then a few months later, we move up here.
Amen.
Well, thank you. Coming in August, and I don't remember what day it is, but I think the first week of August is officially 2 years of being full-time or being permanent. That's the way God works, is it doesn't always make sense to us. You know, I think of Colts in the situation he's in. It doesn't always make sense. I think about, you know, the changes that have happened here. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Me getting a job in Ontario didn't make sense. But, you know, you walk with boldness, rooted in trust, not our abilities. And that's a powerful truth. Faith isn't passive. It's active. It's things we actually should be stepping out on. Faith is a verb. It's an action word. It's not a, you know, oh, I have faith, and that's it. There's something about it. And I've used this example before, and I won't drop this, but, you know, if I was to drop this, how many do you think it would fall to the ground? All of us, right? You have faith in gravity. But you know what? The Lord is the one that created the gravity. And when we have faith, we're trusting in the creator that created all of this. Sometimes we have more faith in gravity than we do in the Lord. Faith moves. It obeys. It takes steps forward, even if the path seems unclear. I love how Oswald Chambers says that faith never knows where it's being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. I like that. As we get toward the end, Joshua's declaration. Near the end of his life, after successfully taking the land, the promised land, he's gathered the people, and he had this declaration. And it's not just a nice sentiment you put on the wall, or he was drawing a line in the sand. He was having a hard statement. This was like, it's what our core value to him. It was something that was immovable. And it was a public commitment regardless of other people's choices. And he reveals this core truth of leadership in his life. He says, but if it doesn't please you to worship Yahweh, choose for yourself today the one you will worship. The gods of your father worshipped beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. As for me and my family, we will worship Yahweh. Now keep in mind, he's already conquered the people, so there's a lot of different faiths in there. It wasn't just like the Hebrews and Israelites. There was a lot of different groups. And he stands this is making a personal conviction. You better decide who you're going to worship, because for me and my family and our people, we're going to worship the God in heaven. We're going to worship Yahweh. We're not going to budge on this. His leadership was rooted in it. So his boldness and leadership, he faced different challenges, but he left a legacy that we have today. Like all the people we're talking about through this series, this legacy is continuing on to us today. We get to read about him and look at his story and how God used him, and we get to learn from that today. We get to learn to be strong and courageous, not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That is a faith. That's a faith in action that steps out. It's an unwavering faith. As we face our own challenges, as we face our difficulties in life, we can be courageous. We can be strong, not in our ability, but through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we step out in action and we go, okay, Lord, I know that I need to face this. We can have that courage. As we close today, you know, we celebrate our Independence Day. Both great blessings and significant challenges in our country and in our faith and our walk with God. But standing, and sometimes we're standing at pivotal moments in our own lives, just like Joshua. We are called to be bold and principled in our homes, in our churches, in our communities, and in our country. Like the founding fathers, like Joshua, as we step out past these doors and we interact with people, that there's people that hate America here. There's people that hate Christians and hate Christianity. There's people that are bashing Jesus and saying he's not real and he's just made up. A lot of lies about our country and about our faith. But you know what? It takes courage to stand up to that. It takes courage and boldness to say, hey, you know what? Like Joshua said, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but for me and my house, I'm going to believe in Jesus Christ. For me and my church, we're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're going to be biblically we're going to have biblical integrity. We're going to make sure that this is the source of all of our decisions. Whether we trust the one who has everything it takes. Let me read this. Not whether we have what it takes, but whether we trust the one who has everything it takes. Where is God calling you to be bold in your life? Maybe leading your family in a deeper spiritual commitment. Maybe taking a stand for truth in the workplace or in the community. Remember, God's presence is with you always. And we have to remember that, like Joshua. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for Joshua and his courage and his boldness. Father, and our Lord, we want to be bold. We do get nervous and afraid at times. But Father, we need that boldness. And we also know that you have commanded us to be bold and courageous, but not on our own strength, but on the strength that you, the strength of you guiding us. We ask you to guide us through our journey in this Christian life. Help us be bold in the times we need to be. Help us stand firm and stand on your word. Help us be courageous to share the gospel with others and not be fearful. We need you, Lord. We need you here in this community. And we also want to step out in faith, and we want that faith to be in action. So, Father God, guide us, convict us. Whatever it is that you need us to do, help us with your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.